Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, we're halfway home on a Wednesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for being here. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. We have some very bitchy people in the chat today. Very, like, on edge. And it's making me on edge. Somebody called me a whore earlier. Jeez, like, this is crazy. Because I have live reads for sponsors. Like, you're a whore. God. I mean, it's like kind of my job.
I guess, you know, we could talk about it. We made a change. I don't think we addressed it, but at the new year, we did make a change to our show.
Yes.
We've been doing our live reads at the end of our segments rather than in the middle of the commercial break. Now, if you listen on demand or on YouTube, you haven't been hearing any of the, you know, Lone Prontos, QC Kinetics ads because they're during commercial breaks. We decided to switch that up. We moved it into the last part of our segment. And I've had a lot of people going, oh, yeah, no, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little, you know, it's weird or I don't like it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you get
It'll
used
take
to
some
it.
Adjustment.
Well, Edgar DM'd, or not DM'd, he was in the chat and he's like, come on, guys. I tune in to hear Padres talk. Edgar, it's the off season, buddy. He was mad that we were talking about golf, the TGL, which fine. I mean, it's a bit of a niche. He said, I'm not saying it's an on demand show, but newsflash, probably more than half of the people that listen to the show can't afford to golf, let alone want to golf. Listen to you guys because they love the Padres. Bro, we love the Padres too. I would talk 4 hours of Padres. If there was a GD thing to talk about right now, if there was one thing to talk about with the San Diego Padres that, you know, would move the needle, we'd be all over.
Everyone's on edge because of Roki now.
I think so.
You know, anytime you got something hanging in the air and
you don't know when
it's going to drop, I feel the tension. I feel it.
But the funny thing is about this weird job that we have is that we're on for 4 hours and you happen to tune in when we're talking about something that you don't want to hear about. I can't read the minds.
Entire 7 o'clock hour on one subject.
Yeah, and
but
then
if you
move
tune
on
in at 8:05,
you're screwed.
And we're talking about
you're screwed.
Whatever, then you're gonna get you get upset, and it's like, bro, we just spent an hour on it.
So we've got Joe Theismann coming up at the bottom of the hour, legendary quarterback, a great a little twofer this week because not only are his Notre Dame Fighting Irish playing for the national championship against Ohio State on Monday, but he, of course, a Washington quarterbacking legend and a former NFL MVP, and they've got a divisional round matchup coming up this weekend as well. It must be a little weird, though. You know, Joe Theismann, probably one of the three or four most famous Notre Dame football alums of all time.
Yeah.
Joe Montana, Paul Hornung, Jerome Bettis. Paul Hornung, but it's spelled Hornung.
Paul Hornung.
Hornung. Paul Hornung, Jerome Bettis, Tim Brown. But the most famous, I think if you ask just the general public, the most famous Notre Dame football player of all time, the one that more people can name than even Joe Montana, is Rudy Rüdiger.
Yeah. This is a tough one
Correct?
For me. Yeah, I tweeted it over the weekend. I finally got the boys to sit down and watch Rudy. I thought the timing was perfect. They're old enough. I mean, you know, they've seen Heat and The Town. Might as well show them an inspirational movie about never quitting in Rudy. And we put, Yeah, Manti Te'o, I'd say, is a pretty big name as well. Not for all the best reasons, but I put the movie on, and I was excited to show them. Now, mind you, I have not watched the movie in 20-plus years. My memories of Rudy were fond. They were fond. I loved it when I saw it at the time. So you're talking about maybe a 29-year-old Woods, maybe even younger. And I go, I'm so excited to show my boys this movie. And I put it on, and after about 7 minutes, I went, this is a colossal piece of dung. It is a colossal, colossal turd. Oh, my God. What have I done? My wife instantly picks up her phone and starts scrolling. Bo's in. He wasn't feeling good, so he's kind of into it. Taylor was way into it. He loved it. He thought it was great. You can't get him out of his Irish jersey. But as I continued to watch the movie unfold, I went, this sucks. This movie sucks. Like, unquestionably, it sucks.
Not good.
It's not a good movie.
It had been so long since I had seen it that I didn't remember that the player that Rudy kind of helped was Jon Favreau in, like, his first role.
He wasn't a player.
Well, that
he was the tutor.
He was the tutor that he helped, yeah. But it was like, I didn't even remember that he was in the movie.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn's like
in the movie. I know, he's like 16 years old. You're just a showboat, man. So, look, I realize there are a ton of inaccuracies in the movie. Like most of it is just, which is not uncommon, right? You have to tell the story of Hollywood. From my understanding, there was no guy that let him sleep in the shed and left a key. That didn't exist. That was all made up for TV. I have no doubt that Rudy Rudiger had a really tough road to get in. Now, it was kind of cool for me because I went to the same school as Rudy. I had a professor that taught Rudy when Rudy was making his
Holy Cross.
Yeah, Holy Cross, when he's making his attempt to, you know, get into Notre Dame. But the rest of it is just utter drivel and garbage. It was so bad, and I'm an Irish fan saying this.
The problem with movies like that is that to have a hero, you also need to have a villain. And when you talk about the inaccuracies of Rudy, one of the biggest ones is that, and I feel bad for him, Dan Devine.
Oh, he was an a-hole, I heard.
But he did. He was always going to suit up Rudy and play him. There was no...
Yeah.
Joe Montana has said, there was no scene where all of them said, I'm turning in my jersey for Rudy. He was gonna suit up for the final game. That was always going to happen. Dan, like, said, yeah, if you want to do it for the movie, fine. And then he saw the movie and goes, man, do I look like a giant villain here. But that's always the case. Like in Moneyball, Art Howe, and I've met Grady Fuson. He used to work for the Padres.
Grady was a good guy.
They look like giant villains
A-holes.
In the movie Moneyball. And because they had to have someone
for
Billy Beane to push back
against. You're right. Art Howe was like, yeah. He was like, wait, what? Jerry West in Showtime was like, wait, he sued. I think he sued. He's like, I've never said that many curse words in my whole life, ever. But yeah, so
it's just it's not a good movie.
It's
not a good message.
Is good.
I don't think it's inspirational.
No, really? Okay, so here's where I'm weird. I watched it fully admitting this is a pile of dung, and I still cried at the end, okay? Like, I still got teared up. Look, the scene that gets me, because I know where this bench is. I've been to that bench. When he gets his last shot at getting in to Notre Dame, and he gets the envelope, sits on the bench. I've sat on that bench before. And he opens it up, and he starts to weep. That's the part that gets me. Like, and you know, having been there and been to, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that makes a difference.
And having taken Bo there in September, Bo's like, I know that place. I've been there. That's the Grotto. All this cool stuff that's there. Yes, it's rad to have your favorite school featured in a movie like that. But the movie itself, the brothers, the Rudy, he's like psychotic. Like, I'm a fan, but like, he's psychotic. He's breaking and entering. Your wife tweeted, like,
every scene he's
breaking in something.
Gates and he's doing the windows apart,
spraying the helmets and lying to everybody that he goes there. I was like, this is just bad.
My favorite part, the part that I laughed at the most, I should say, is he gets the job with Fortune. And he like begs him for this job. I'll work for free. I'll do whatever. And then he finally walks him into the Notre Dame locker room.
Yeah.
And he's looking
and
around.
He jumps up. Hey, we're going to go. We're going to go. We're going to go.
I had to leave the room.
Getting
ready to start vacuuming. And Rudy pulls a stool out and stands in the middle of an empty locker room. He's like, when they go high, we're going to go low.
He's going to go inside. We're going to go outside. I was like, I got to leave.
And
I was so embarrassed.
I'm like, hey, buddy, you begged me for this job. Why don't you get your ass off of this stool, stop yelling at nobody, and get to work, you clown.
And we're going to go. Go, go. Luckily, my kids are young enough that they couldn't feel the embarrassment that I had from that scene.
It's obviously sold as a movie of persistence.
Yeah, don't quit.
Inspiration. Don't give up on your dreams.
Yeah.
You know,
which is great.
If you try hard enough, if you want it bad enough.
If you complain enough and beg enough, maybe somebody will throw you a bone.
Here's the thing, and Paul, I think you read the same piece that I thought made an excellent point. If Rudy had wanted to, he could have played like D2 or D3 football. I mean, he was a decent football player. He was so obsessed, though, with just being on the Notre Dame team. He rather would be a mascot for the Notre Dame team and actually go and play college football, which he could have done. And in that case, you're just really selling Notre Dame mystique. You're not really Rudy.
Yeah.
Like, Notre Dame is so special that it's worth giving up
everything.
The rest of your other dreams that you could have had your life just to have one token play at the end of your career for Notre Dame. And, there's no institution that should have that sort of reverence.
There's a, and Notre Dame fans feel that way about Notre Dame. And if I took you there, Ben, if I took you there on a Saturday, you would go, all right, man, you're right. It truly is magical. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. Like, you walk on campus, you go, oh, wow, okay, touchdown Jesus, the whole thing. It's crazy. It lures you in. It really does. So, but that dude had never even been there before. He just watched it on TV on a black and white. He had no idea. Even the priest wouldn't let him on the bus to go even tour it because his grades were so bad.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the part where he's sitting in the bar and that girl's in there and he goes, Mary, how does your garden grow? I go, that's it. I'm done. I can't watch this movie. This is crap.
I'd like to make an announcement, though. After careful consideration, and partly in support of you, I will be rooting for Notre Dame.
I would rather you root for Ohio State.
I can't.
I want you to.
You want me to cheer for Ohio State?
I do. Makes for better radio.
I don't know. I don't feel like I can. Maybe I'll just cheer against both teams then. I don't know.
I also heard, did he not get a sack in real life?
No, he did. He did. Okay. Joe Montana said he did.
Okay, get the sack. I did read a funny piece in The Ringer, I think, that wrote about it years ago, and they said it basically just consists of him getting the crap beat out of him at practice, telling the coach, I can do it, coach, and then not being able to do it even a little bit. They just worked that. Who would do that? Just to help the team win. Like, he's just a punching bag. The slow clap killed me.
It was Deadspin, not Deadspin. The Ringer, and they end it with, like, they just rip the movie, and they end it with, you know, it's strange that millennials are always dubbed as the, quote, everyone gets a trophy generation, when Rudy is considered one of the most inspirational stories to come out of the 70s. This is quite literally the story of a bad football player who gets to play for an elite team simply because he asks enough times.
Yeah, he just asks enough times. You gotta play me, coach, you gotta play me. I mean, I love Notre Dame. I feel it in my bones. If one of my kids got into Notre Dame, Ben, it would be everything for me. It would be everything for me. But I want it to be their dream, not my dream. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I want it to be their dream.
Don't force it on them. That's not what they want.
I'll take them to the games. I'll show them tell them about the mystique and everything else. But if you don't want to do it, don't do it for me. Me and my brother both tried to do it for my dad. Neither of us got in. I got as close as anybody could possibly get. But once I got there and I heard how hard the school was, I go, no, this is not for me.
All right, speaking of football, I was looking over my Prize Picks options for the pro football playoffs this weekend. Derrick Henry, 97.5 rushing yards, more or less. mean, based on how he's going, how do you pick against that guy? Patrick Mahomes, 1.5 passing touchdowns with a layoff matter after a week off. You can make all these choices yourself when you sign up for Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy with 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings. All you have to do is pick more or less on between 2 and 6 player lineups to win up to 1,000 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. And when you sign up, which is very quick and easy to do, use the code KWFN at their website. You're going to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Set like 10 $5 lineups with that. You can win like big money with a $5 lineup if you play it right. You can go with the extra demons or the goblins. They're like easier picks or harder picks. Kind of increases or decreases your chances. But you can increase your winnings by the same way. So use code KWFN, get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. And if it's not football, you can play basketball right now, hockey. They've got all kinds of sports every single night of the week. You are playing with Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. If you want to call in now, for Take on Woods, coming up in our next segment, chance to qualify for a trip to Vegas, 833-288-0973. Back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got Joe Theismann coming up at the bottom of the hour. Continue our Notre Dame talk here on Ben and Woods this morning.
Yeah, buddy. And Commanders.
You know. And Commanders as well. This is their the first time they won a playoff game in nearly 20 years.
Yeah, insane. Pop, Peter in the chat said, look, I'm good with all these corny-ass movies for the kids. I mean, what's the alternative of Rudy? Just quit and go steelworking? I guess now Rudy should have put out an ND rap. It's a good point. It's a good point. It is. I did cry at it because I always cry at it, but I can also admit this is a turd. This is a big old turd. But my kids liked it, so that's the most important thing.
All right, why don't you step aside and we will welcome our contestant and play a little Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
I've gotten off to a little slow start. Yesterday was a tough category. I think it was a 1-0 final. So we're going to try to correct that today.
Somebody,
I know Roger.
Get one right.
I know Roger always comes to play. Good morning, Roger. How are you?
Well, good morning. First call of the year for me.
All right. Welcome to 2025's Take on Woods. You've got three categories to choose from. Here they are. All in, all two-second songs, all start with the word all. 5150 hold, those are song titles that include euphemisms for, mental illness. And then finally, hot takes, five song titles that begin with the word take. So all in, 5150 hold, or hot takes?
Let's try the 5150 hold.
All right, 5150 hold. This is probably a more disguised category. This was submitted by Tier 1 Scott. Thank you, Scott. Send in some questions. It includes five song titles that all include a word meaning mentally unwell. I think you can kind of imagine what that is. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many of the five as you can. If you don't know one, pass. We'll come back to it. You go first, then Woods, and we compare scores. If you win or tie, we'll put you into the grand prize drawing for our two-night stay at the Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas. Two tickets to see The Scorpion celebrating 60 years with a new Las Vegas residency show February 27th to March 11th at PH Live at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. We'll even throw in a $100 gas card. So, first question is the two-second song. Polly's going to play you some music. You need to give me that title with the mentally unwell word and the artist. You know how to play, Roger. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock in the category 5150 hold. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Roger. Let's take on Woods.
That is Insane in the Membrane by Cypress Hill.
Insane in the Brain by Cypress Hill, but I'll give it to you. The Talking Heads use the French phrase, qu'est-ce que c'est? What is this? Right after the title of which song? Their first hit in 1977.
Psycho Killer.
Correct. Which early 1976 hit by Heart begins with about 45 seconds of acoustic guitar by...
On you.
Correct. 2 years before their major hits of the mid-1980s, Tears for Fears first hit the charts in 1982 with which dreamy song sung by bassist... Correct. Helped by the fact that radio stations often played the first three tracks of the album in order, which Prince song reached top 10 on the charts in 1982, along
Let's
with...
Go Crazy.
No! You jumped the gun a little bit. Along with 1999 and Little Corvette. That one is Delirious.
You know what?
Delirious.
I bet Woods does the same
thing. I bet
exact
he does,
thing.
Too. It's definitely... That's the trick question. But you got the first... Four, Insane in the Brain, Cypress Hill, Psycho Killer by the Talking Heads, Crazy on You by Heart, and Mad World. Let's see how Woods does. Hang on the line, Roger. All right, you know you need to bring your game when Roger is the contestant.
Bring my game for every contestant.
I know you do.
Try to.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Might be a difficult category to figure out. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Roger.
Insane in the Membrane by Cypress Hill.
Correct. The Talking Heads use the French phrase, qu'est-ce que c'est?
Psycho Killer.
Correct. Which early 1976 hit by Heart begins with about 45 seconds of acoustic guitar.
Crazy on You.
Correct. 2 years before their major hits of the mid-80s, Tears for Fears first hit the charts in 1982, with which dreamy song sung by bassist Kurt Smith.
Pass.
Helped by the fact that radio stations often played the first three tracks of the album in order, which Prince song reached top 10 on the charts in 1982, along with 1999 and Little Red Corvette.
Let's Go Crazy.
Incorrect.
What?
2 years before their major hits of the mid-80s, Tears for Fears first hit the charts in 1982, with which dreamy song sung by bassist Kurt Smith.
Crazy Taint.
It is not. And
ooh,
Roger
that one.
Sneaks out the 4-3 win. He did the same thing you did. Made perfect sense with the category, which was 5150 hold. Delirious was the Prince song.
Damn it.
Which also has the mental illness. Mad World, fun. Though, was the one that was the difference.
Mad World.
Which it's a good song. And,
it's not, but I
you don't like that
I
one.
I play it all the time.
World, oh, too much?
Yeah.
All right, Roger, hang on the line.
Damn
You're
it.
Qualified for the trip to Las Vegas.
Good match, at least, finally.
In your first appearance of 2025.
Damn it.
It's all right. That was submitted by Tier 1 Scott as well.
Great guy.
Said in that category. Like that. Fun category. Scott, always welcome your submissions if you got some ideas for Take on Woods. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Joe Theismann, the quarterback, Notre Dame, Washington Commanders. I'll talk about all the big football games coming up this weekend. First Woods.
Yes. QC Kinetics, my friend. They can really make a difference in your life. If you are struggling right now, your joints are hurting, these guys are the best at what they do. You don't have to finish this year with the same old joint pain. Get in there, get it looked at. Your knees, your hips, your back, your shoulder. It was my wrists that I went in for, and my knee as well. Make the decision to say, no, I'm not going to do it this year, man. I'm going to go to QC Kinetics. I'm going to get back on the surfboard, the bike. I'm going to start jogging again, playing golf, whatever it is. Get moving again. In 2025, with help from QC Kinetics, the nation's leader in regenerative medicine and joint preservation. Revitalize your joints with advanced orthobiologic treatments. All natural solutions like PRP attacks the pain from arthritis. Tens of thousands of people like myself with pain have discovered these cellular treatments. They're living their lives again without that constant pain in your joints. It is no fun, man. It really isn't. So if you want to learn more about how you can refresh your joints, get lasting relief with these treatments, call QC Kinetics. They'll give you a free consultation. You've got a location in Torrey Hills and one in Hillcrest. So deal with joint pain now. You can make the most of the new year by calling 619-614-PAIN, 619-614-PAIN. It's QC Kinetics at 619-614-PAIN.
I think it may have happened. I won a music argument with Woods.
Yeah, you did. You did. I was wrong.
Wow. As we went through the break, I said, I can't believe you don't like Mad World by Tears for Fears. It just seemed like right up your alley. It's not an overplayed Tears for Fears song.
Yeah.
And you were thinking there was a different version by someone else.
It's slower. It's by Gary Jules. That's the one we used to play all the time, and I hate it.
Not as good.
Not as good.
Tears for Fears, though, version.
It's very good.
Great song. And yeah, you agreed with me finally.
Yep, I did.
Outstanding. Yep. All right, we will get back to the Roki Sasaki talk and much more coming up. But Paulie has lined up our next guest. It's been a while since we've talked to him, but couldn't think of a better week to return to the Ben & Woods program. Former NFL MVP, Notre Dame quarterback, Joe Theismann is back here with us on Ben & Woods. Joe, it is great to have you on in San Diego. It's been too long. How have you been?
I've been great, guys. Thanks for having me. You know, I'm having a heck of a week, but if you go back to November, I played for the Toronto Argonauts and they won the Grey Cup.
Wow.
I'm working on a trifecta.
All right. So I gotta ask. The Argonauts have already gotten theirs out of the way.
Yeah.
Joe, I need you to pick one. ND championship or a
Washington Commanders. Wow.
Commanders only championship. Pick one. You only get one.
Oh, why do you do this to me?
Because I can.
Gee whiz. Because you can. I like that. I think the Commanders can go into Detroit, and that means they'd wind up playing the Rams or the Eagles, and I think they match up well with
yep.
them. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have gone to two Super Bowls with Washington and had a chance to win one with our 82 football team. So, never had a chance to win one at Notre Dame. Matter of fact, I was in between them. They won in 66. They won in 72. I was there from 67 to 70. So, I want Notre Dame to win so that I can fill that void right there.
I'm with you.
I see that. I mean, it's would you say it's tougher to win now a college football championship than a Super Bowl?
I do, because you don't have consistent players. You can't build a program. You piecemeal programs together. You find a quarterback. You know, we're on our third quarterback in 3 years. And I think and this is a real credit to Marcus Freeman and Mike Denbrock and, you know, Al Golden, the job he has done. We're lucky at Notre Dame. Not too many guys jump and leave us because, you know, they value their education. They value the University of Notre Dame. And we have a lot of guys that have stayed and some that have come. But and other universities, I'm sure, you know, feel that way. But we see a lot of guys bouncing from one place to another to another. I just think it's difficult to be able to create any kind of consistency in college football today because of the movement that occurs through the portal.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%, Joe. I grew up a Notre Dame fan. My dad went there as well. And I went to Holy Cross, like Rudy. I could not get in, but I remember him letting me stay up late to watch the Fiesta Bowl in 1988. And since the years have passed, I was 13 years old when they won their national championship. I've never been happier. And I that's the one I want. I want one more for my dad. I want one more for me. And now I've got two boys. I want them to see one, get that experience. Because, again, I've carried that thing around with me for 30 years, you know, since they've won a huge, huge game. And you can't say enough good things about Marcus Freeman. What he's been able to do is really astounding in this age. And somebody tweeted the other day, his most remarkable accomplishment is making Notre Dame likable again. And I had to laugh because I went, yeah, that's true. I've got people all over the country saying, finding it really hard to root against this guy.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, he's such a genuine person. I've been very fortunate to spend time with him. He's real. He's real when you sit with him. He's real when you see him on TV. He loves the university. He's committed to the university. So often we see coaches just bounce from one place to another for an economic reason. And Marcus is committed to the players. And that's the thing. You know, he recruits these guys. They come there, and he's committed to them. And like I said, I think, you know, the hiring of his assistants has been really special, our entire staff. And, you know, the one thing you can't discount when you get to this time of year, whether it's at the professional level or the collegiate level, is the field goal kicker.
Yes.
I mean, Jeter, you know, he was like 8-for-15 going into Georgia, makes 3 against Georgia, makes another one against Penn State. You know, Gonzalez in Washington, you know, decides he wants to carom one off the upright.
Oh, my gosh.
And put it through. I mean, oh, my heart. When that thing started to go right, oh, my heart just skipped a beat, and then he hit it, and I literally jumped out of my chair. My wife looked at me like I was nuts. And it was just such an incredibly emotional moment. But this is the time of year you look at that other element, not just the offense and defense, but the special teams part of it. I mean, you know, we get that kick return against Georgia.
Yeah, huge.
You know, you make field goal. I mean, that's – and you look at these different games. We're in Washington. We're going to the next round of the playoffs because of a kick.
Talking to quarterbacking legend Joe Theismann here on Ben and Woods. And, Joe, would you say – I mean, it looks like the Commanders have figured out their quarterback situation now with Jaden Daniels, but kind of went down that road with RG3 and then didn't work out as well as they thought. What in your mind has made him so successful so quickly in the NFL, and what do you see the future holding for him?
I think it's his work ethic and his temperament. The athletic skills are there. The ability to throw the ball down the field is another thing. We haven't had that in years. We haven't averaged right around 20 points in God knows how many years, and now I think we averaged 28 during the season. But Jaden is just very, very special, very unique. He has a great demeanor. He has a great work ethic. You know, to me, you've got to be accurate with the football. You have to be able to throw it just hard enough to be able to get it into spaces. And keep in mind, he hasn't really had a chance to totally understand the game. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury's done a terrific job calling games and getting him comfortable and giving him a chance to run. I used to like to run early in games just to sort of get the cobwebs knocked out a little bit and get your juices flowing. And Jaden does it exceptionally well. I mean, if you made a list of 10 things that you like in quarterbacks, you'd check every box with him.
You know, I heard some really nice – it's a really simple compliment from Dallas Cowboys' Micah Parsons. I saw a little clip going around. He goes, hey, if you can win one playoff game, you can win another. And I think there's going to be a lot of people interested on how this game goes down against the Lions. The Lions' defense, they will give up huge chunks of yardage. They will give up points. Do you get the sense that this is going to be a bit of a shootout between these two teams?
You know, I would think you don't want to get in a shootout with the Detroit Lions.
You do not.
I think our running game last week was just good enough against Tampa Bay to give Jaden a chance to throw the ball in different places. And Diami just stepped up gigantic in that game. Brown hadn't really had that many catches. Terry is Terry. You know, Terry McLaurin never gets talked about as a part of the elite in the past in the receiving game in professional ball, but he should. You know, I'd take him over. Really, I'd really take him over anybody because he makes every tough catch there is. You don't see a highlight film necessarily of him making a one-handed catch, but you see him going up and holding on to the ball in very critical situations in a game. So I think that you don't want to shoot out. You want to be able to control time of possession. I think that's going to be critical for Washington in this game. You've got to figure out a way to tip time of possession in your favor, whether it's Jaden running, whether it's B-Rob running, you know, whoever's handling the football, whether it's, you know, short passes. However you want to do it, you want to be able to continue to do what you did. And what becomes critical is don't drop the ball. Don't have drop passes. Don't turn the ball over. That's a large part of why Washington has had the success that they have had, because they've been very, very good with the football in their hands.
Well, it's funny. You watch these two matchups. So the games that you're interested in, both of those games, the Lions don't give up a ton on the ground. The Ohio State Buckeyes don't give up a ton on the ground. Both teams in both games are going to have to run the football. You saw what happened to Notre Dame last week when they seemingly could not run the ball, and then they came out. I saw the speech yesterday from Coach Freeman about controlling the line and getting the football moving. Jeremiah Love obviously did it. Your running backs are going to need to do it for Washington. But it does seem so obvious. It's amazing that it took the Irish till the second half to get the ground game going, and it's just something that's so important for both of these teams that you love.
Well, don't lose sight of the fact that we lost two offensive linemen.
100%.
So I mean, as in the first half, you're just trying to put pieces back together. You know, you're looking for Band-Aids and Scotch tape, and duct tape to try and put things together. And all of a sudden, the guys get their feet wet a little bit, and they go out and they perform at a very high level. I still think, no matter what the situation is, you just can't abandon the run. And I don't think Cliff will do that. And fortunately, you have Jaden back there who has the ability to be able to do it. Now, Jared's a different story. You know basically where he's going to be. I don't think Ben's going to move him a lot because that's not what they do. They want to get the ball out of his hands into the receiver's hands and let them go do some stuff. You know, you're right about the Notre Dame. Notre Dame is based, it's run first, then it's Riley Leonard run. Washington is let Jaden run, we'll get B-Rob the ball, and then we'll pick and choose as we go down the field to take our shots. I thought what Notre Dame did well against Penn State, which they really hadn't done a lot of, was throw the ball effectively. Riley threw the ball very effectively. And keep in mind, he had no spring work. In the beginning of the year, he really sort of started playing right from the get-go because he got hurt against Notre Dame when he was at Duke a year ago. So he didn't really have a lot of spring ball. And so as the time off and all the time he spent, now we see him getting better and better and better. And you know how kind of an aggressive runner he is. And both my quarterbacks, I claimed them, both my quarterbacks I run the ball very, very well.
Talking to Joe Theismann, last thing for me, Joe. Before you were on, we were talking about the movie Rudy. Now, I believe you were there just a couple of years before Rudy was at Notre Dame. What are your thoughts, being so close to the program, on the movie Rudy?
And you can speak honestly. Yeah. I'm a huge fan, and I revisited it over the weekend with my kids aged 7 and 4, and I was actually embarrassed at how bad of a movie it is, and I did not remember how bad it was, Joe. So you can speak honestly on it. The scenery's great. Nice seeing the grotto. Nice seeing everything.
The story.
But, man,
Look at the story.
All right.
Look at the story. It's a story of perseverance. I want to tell you something. There's a guy by the name of Pete Chivarelli, who I was in school with. Peter and I graduated in 1971. He manages the Chicago, the band. Peter and I were teammates together at Notre Dame. Peter was Rudy before Rudy. you're having that chance to want to get on the field and go into the coach and give me a chance and all that kind of stuff. And Peter almost got in the Texas game. What Peter did is there's a statue of Ara Parseghian that sits outside one of the gates at the University of Notre Dame Stadium. Peter commissioned that particular statue, and he's actually the front guy in it. He made himself a little taller, but he's the front guy in it. But I just think that, to me, it's more than the acting. It's more than all that other stuff. It's the story of perseverance, and that's what Rudy is. It's the story of trying to do everything you can to be able to get where you want to go. And Peter did that. Peter came to school at like 22 years old. He had a thing called Demon Dogs in Chicago, right under the L. He worked there before he ever came to the University of Notre Dame, but he loved the university so much. And he does a tremendous amount for our band there. I mean, he gives them backpacks and gets them places they need to go to. I mean, and Rudy has just done a terrific job, I think, of taking that particular movie, and he shot the living daylights out of it. It was perseverance just to get it on. And so, to me, I think they're both great stories about the University of Notre Dame.
Love it. All right. He said it's a feel-good story, and that's all you need to know. I know Joe Montana kind of pushes back against it sometimes, but Joe Theismann
is all in.
Yeah, all in. On Rudy.
Joe is closer to it than I am.
Yeah. He was. Yeah. He actually had to play with that guy. Yeah. So.
Joe, really appreciate it. Good luck to all your teams this weekend and the rest of the month, and take care.
Thanks, guys. Hope to see you at the Super Bowl.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Theismann, everybody. That was fun.
You're barking up the wrong tree there, Joe. We're not being sent to the Super Bowl, I promise you.
Probably not, no. But hopefully you get to go. Well, he usually goes anyway.
Yeah, he goes anyway. Yeah. That's so great, man.
Whether or not the Commanders make it.
He sounds so good. Somebody in the chat said, man, Joe still has his fastball. I said, I couldn't agree more. Fantastic.
He does. I mean, who doesn't like the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Campbell.
Of course.
But, you know, there's definitely an argument to cheer for the Commanders here. It's a good story now that they've changed ownership and, you know, just feels like they've refreshed the franchise in so many ways.
It's hard not to like Jaden Daniels.
It is hard not to like him.
Fantastic.
In fact, I do like him quite a bit. Someone's going to lose that game, and it's going to be kind of sad.
Yeah, it will.
That someone's going to get knocked out, but that's the playoffs for you. All right, I know people are still dying. Any news on Roki?
No.
Nothing. Keep you caught up, though. First, though, a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Still nothing on Roki Society.
No.
We're going to feel like this way until the middle of next week.
You're just kind of waiting and looking
at do tomorrow the same way and then Friday.
I know.
I mean, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, I get your point that you don't want this to drag on any longer.
Well,
I
said yesterday, I've liked how they have handled it so far. I really, really liked the elimination of the other teams. And you're seeing, the last couple of days, letting the Mets and the Yankees and Cubs know, hey, we're not going to be signing there, so you're free to move on. And you're seeing other teams go out and sign some international free agents today.
If anything wants to really give you some hope that the Padres have a legit shot, it's the fact that he hasn't made his decision yet. If there's no reason to string along other teams, he can't increase the offer. There's nothing he can do. It's simply he's going through his process and taking his time. And presumably, the reason why he's taking his time is that it's a difficult decision.
Well,
there are different factors that point to different teams. And he's legitimately going through and trying to decide because he hasn't decided which team he's going with yet. Is that possibly true? Am I being naive?
I think you're being a little naive. I feel like he knows where he's going.
Then why are we going through all this?
I mean, we haven't really gone through anything yet. Today's the deadline. So it's just what it means is we're going to spend the entirety of our day on our phones, on Twitter.
But why even go through the process of narrowing it down to three then? Why not just not say anything and then on
Wednesday,
with the team you're always getting? Then why not let all the teams know?
Yeah, fair.
I just feel like he legitimately is still trying to decide.
I guess you can make a case for that. You know, the fact that he didn't just say, no, it's I'm signing with blank on Wednesday. You know, I guess that's a possibility.
He could have said it a month ago.
Yeah, true.
He said, I'm waiting until January 15th when the new deadline opens, but I've decided I'm going to sign with whoever it is. The reason why I think it's taking so long is that he really wants to make the right decision. And I can see why this would be a very hard call. It's not as easy as Dodgers fans make it out to be. It's not as easy as Padres fans would make it out to be. I think this would be a legitimately tough call. How would you be handling it?
Me?
If you had to decide. Like, take away your Padres allegiances and your Dodger hate. And you're going through. You're starting your career. And you have to choose between one of the two teams. I think it would be
one of the three teams.
Three, really. But I think it would be a legitimately hard decision between those two.
I mean, I really don't.
I would have. It would have been done by this morning.
Yeah,
but I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy either.
I'm not going to blame the guy if he signs with LA at all. I mean, it's a good. It's a really good opportunity.
Yeah, but
for
what do you want? What do you want out of this?
World Series rings.
Yeah, rings, championships, elite appreciation, and to win. I like to win.
I don't know. I don't think I'd feel the same way. And I'm being truly. Truly honest here. The Dodgers have already put together their team. I don't think I'd want to just be the 16th piece of a puzzle that's already been put together.
Oh, man. Winning at the big league level is pretty special. You know, and I don't know, I'm not trying to make the case for him here, but I.
But if you're not going to surprise me, he won't be the 16th piece either. He'll be in their rotation.
I'm not saying the 16th member of their rotation, but in terms of...
I think he has, it actually is the 16th member of their rotation. I think he slots in at number...
They may have 15 other...
Yeah, I mean, he may not be number 16, but he's one of 16 starting pitchers for them. So I think,
of course, I'd want to win, but I'd want to be instrumental to the winning.
You would be.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because you're going to pitch every sixth day. You're not going to play 162. You're pitching every sixth day, and I'm instrumental in the fact that I won my game.
But everyone knows that the Dodgers don't need him.
Correct.
Everybody has agreed. Even Dodgers fans, you know, we like him, but yeah. we don't need him. We're fine without him. Yeah. I just don't know that that's the team that I would want to pick. The one that it doesn't need me at all. I'm just another trophy. I'm just another notch on their belt.
I don't know, man. Like I've done this whole thing of putting myself in his shoes.
I'm the fifth starter.
No.
Bad best.
No.
Really?
Yeah, you'd probably take
with everyone's healthy?
Two? Yeah. You got Snell.
Glasnow, Snell, Yamamoto, and Otani.
And, yeah.
I mean, Sasaki is fifth at best, I think. At least at the start of his career, when he's going to be
somewhat limited. Glasnow and Otani are no guarantees.
Sure.
Health-wise.
Sure.
Yeah.
But neither is Roki, actually, at least early in his career. I think he's coming off a season in which he had some shoulder issues. Going to have to be careful. So will the Padres. You know, six-man rotation. But I don't know.
I just don't get the sense he's agonizing over this decision. I don't know why. I just don't get the sense it's like in agony. Probably waiting in the last minute to prevent people of charging the Dodgers with tampering or something. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I just don't get the sense he's agonizing over this.
All right, we'll come back. Final hour. We've got our Rindle report and more still to come. Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.